This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The Caps, they are on their way back from Western Canada. In their back pocket, they got 6 points out of 8. Joining me, as always, he's not on the plane. He's already back. He's back home. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I never went anywhere, but yeah, I'm back from wherever I supposedly went.
I was very jealous of the CSN team who got to go out on one of those tiny little, like, six-seater planes and check out Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. They showed it twice.
Did they?
They showed it in the Vancouver – they showed it during the Vancouver game, and they showed it again in against the game during the – I want to say the second intermission.
The Winnipeg game,
against,
right?
Winnipeg. Yeah. They showed it again during the second intermission.
Yeah, I saw it that time. I'm very jealous of them. I wish the one time I was in Vancouver, I could have done that. That would have been really cool.
That looked cool, although I get airsick, so that may not have been a good idea for me.
You just get airsick on, like, a regular plane, not even one of these tiny little six-seaters.
I don't know. I've never been on a little one.
I had to take it wasn't like a six-seater, but it was a tiny plane where you actually had to, like, walk onto the runway to get on the plane. I took that. It was Air Canada from Baltimore to Toronto. And that was a little weird, seeing, like, the propellers on, like, the outside of the plane, you know, spinning instead of, like, you know, being in case. But whatever. I mean, it got me there. Everything was cool. But let's talk about these Caps. Like I said, 6 points out of 8. Edmonton game. Still, that kind of sucked, but these guys, since the last time we talked, went undefeated against Vancouver, Calgary, and Winnipeg. I'm still a little bit worried, because like I said last week, it was this team has yet to beat a team that is very strong and is potentially going to be in the postseason. But again, it's hard to complain. 6 out of 8 points, that's still something great, because this is a tough road trip. This is like full 2 weeks away from home in Western Canada, where you already know it's cold. It's not, you know, 80 degrees like it is here. But overall, I'm happy, but I still am looking for that definitive win these guys are going to get.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing really a definitive win per se. I thought the game against Vancouver and Calgary were both very good. Admittedly, I didn't see all of either one of those games, but I did catch. I think the Vancouver game, I missed the first period. And then Calgary, I'm totally blanking on. I think I saw a little bit of the Calgary game. That was one that was on during Walking Dead, correct?
It was, yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, so I think I missed. I saw some of the Calgary game. But
priorities.
I don't think right. But no, I mean, I thought the Western Canada road trip went very well. When you get 6 out of 8 points, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at like we talked about, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, talking about how the teams view their season in increments. And if we're going to do it in 4-game increments and you get 6 out of 8 points every 4 games, I'll take that. I'll definitely take that. Wait, how many points does that get you? Let me bring up the calculator real quick there, Brandon.
You got a digital calculator?
You know what? I'm going to find me a calculator.
Get that Texas Instrument.
I'm going to – what was it called? TI-83 or something? Is that what it was called?
Something like that. I don't know. It's been a
while. So 6 point – oh, God. You know what? I don't feel like doing this right now. It's too confusing because I forgot.
Were you one of those students that, like, pre-programmed the answers into your calculator and cheated during class?
No. That would have been funny, though. No.
I may have done that once or twice.
Now, I don't know if I ever did that. I had games on there, though.
Did you? Snake?
I don't know if I did that right. No. That was the cell phone. No, I had, like, what was it called? Like, Drug War or something?
Drug
War. And then there was one that was, like, supposed to be, like, a Star Wars, like, speed racer or land. What? I don't know. I don't care.
Pod racing.
The point is, pod racing, whatever the hell it's called. The point is, I don't know how many points that would be, but it would be good.
Yeah, you know, this is these are all road trips. I mean, this is all being away from home. Like I said, different beds, different cities, different line combos. You know, we talked about this last week after that Edmonton game. There were a couple different line combinations brought up, and it seems to be working well. These guys seem to be gelling fairly well with these new lines, not really needing a lot of time to get used to each other. Who do you think has benefited most from this line jumble?
I mean, it seems to be working for a lot of guys. The fourth line especially seems to have come alive, especially in the last couple of games with the last two. I feel like Beagle's been on the score sheet a bunch. Connolly got his first goal as a Capital. Sanford got his first point in the NHL. I believe on the Connolly goal, he got an assist. So it seems like that's worked out for them. If I feel like Johansson is tearing it up, playing with Kuznetsov and Wilson. But I feel like the first line hasn't really done much lately. Yeah. And so to do the opposite of the question you actually asked me, like a politician here, you're going to ask me a question and I'm going to answer something else. I feel like every other line's done well, but the first line just hasn't gotten going.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was going to bring that up next. The first line seems to be a little bit sluggish. I don't know if Justin Williams is really the answer for that top line, but I do got to say the second line has been fantastic. You and I, we talked for the last couple of years, and we brought it up before this season, if Tom Wilson is capable of getting those top line, second line minutes, or if he is just a grinder, he is just a goon. Dude's got a goal in the last week, and the last time he had one of those was last March. I think this has really ignited him and Marcus Johansson in really great ways. I think the Kuznetsov, Johansson, Wilson working together has been top-notch. I think that is an awesome line right there. I'd like to see them play a little bit more because obviously it's working. Because Tom Wilson, he's on the scoreboard. He's getting points. He's making goals. He's making things happen. And he's the guy you always bring up. You got to have that guy just to sit in front of the net and block the goalie. And when you have Kuznetsov and Johansson being able to shoot that puck in and Wilson in front of it, that big body in front of it, it works. This 100% works as a second line.
Yeah, and the second line I felt like has done fine. I mean, you've got two guys that'll crash net. Johansson's getting his goals in front of the net. Wilson's Wilson, so he's just going to go hit people. And Kuznetsov is just playing ridiculous in terms of his skill set. I mean, the guy doesn't seem like – he was picked, what, late in the first round? Mm-hmm. And he's coming out and being a guy that probably should have gotten picked in the top five, if not top three. And so – I think the moves have worked out, but when you have guys like Backstrom and Ovechkin who are not getting points and are not working, you're going to make some changes. So I would not be surprised. I mean, it could just be as minor as flip-flopping Oshie and Williams and putting Williams on the third line with Eller and Burakovsky and putting Oshie back up with Backstrom and Ovechkin and seeing if that can reignite the first line. So I don't expect them to make any major changes, but I also feel like I wouldn't be surprised to see them try and fit Daniel Winnick back in and get him a game. I mean, looking at their schedule, they don't have any back-to-backs until next weekend when they're out of town. So that's when I would expect. If these lines keep working, I think in the next couple of games they may stay the way they are. But I feel like they're going to want to get Winnick back in the team at some point, and maybe they wait to do that next weekend against Chicago and Carolina. Yeah. In both away games.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it type of deal. But I got to say, I was a little surprised with the benching or the press box treatment for Daniel Winnick. Of everybody that to sit up in the press box, I didn't think he'd be the guy because they talked about, oh, we want more scoring, we want this, we want that. One of the first games, he was the only guy to score two goals. So I was a little surprised to see his name taken off, scratched, a healthy scratch, and not somebody else who hasn't really been producing. But obviously it's working. It's doing what it's supposed to, so we might not see him as much. I just was a little thrown off by that. I like Beagle's kind of like him. He's so versatile, which is good. But I liked that line of Winnick, Beagle, and Wilson. But obviously they have other ideas for what Wilson can do, maybe what Beagle can do with these young guys on the fourth line as well.
Yeah, so far the lines seem to be working, and I see no reason to make any changes. But I feel like in order to keep guys fresh, and eventually they're going to struggle and they're going to make some changes again. But I fully expect, even potentially as early as tomorrow against Winnipeg, to see the first line looking a little different so they can get them going a little bit.
Now, what do you have to say about the defense here? They've kind of stuck with their original plan, having, you know, Orlov and Schmidt be with the two veteran guys, Carlson and Orpik. But the Winnipeg game, especially in the third period, the defense really started to break down, and it looked like these guys were getting very sluggish, very tired, and not really doing very well. Do you think there could be a line jumble for the defense coming up?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you see a night where Chorney gets a game, but I think it was more like the entire team started to sort of check out of that Winnipeg game. It was a long road trip, especially when you're across the country. You travel a lot of miles. And I think at that point, you're starting to get that part in the back of your mind of like, can I just go home now? Can we go home and get a couple of games at home, get to go and be in our own beds with our own lady friends, depending on who they are, and just have that opportunity to be where they are more comfortable. And so I'm kind of curious as to if that sort of checkout from the third period against the Winnipeg game was really more associated with that and not so much the players themselves and their skill set. So I wouldn't be that shocked to see the exact same lineup in terms of the defense tomorrow. I think if they struggle again, then maybe the game on Saturday we see Chorney get a game in over Orlov or somebody.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see. This defense is still very suspect to me. Like we said, as always, I mean, it's November 2nd as we're recording this, so we're just starting we're still in the first month of the season pretty much since we started so late. So I don't really see many drastic changes, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with the defense if they are still kind of giving up games towards the end, because of course
when it was not just the defense.
No, it's not. But I mean, it was very glaring at this last game in the Winnipeg game that the defense was tired. They checked out and they were ready to go home.
I think it was everybody to some extent was just like, I'm done. I want to go home. I'm tired of being in Canada. No, I'm just kidding. I've had enough Tim Hortons.
There's no such thing.
I'm ready for some Dunkin' Donuts. Or, you know, whatever they would have.
Russian bagels? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So I would attribute it more to the fact, as of right now, I would attribute it more to that fact that they were just tired. But if it comes into the next game on Thursday, and they do it again, or Saturday, and you see the defense is still struggling, then I think you definitely need to make a move. I think at that point, you need to shake it up a little bit, just kind of like you did with the forward lines. Give them a little bit of a chance to see a different opportunity, see if they maybe can mesh with somebody else. But I also be a little more concerned about them breaking up, not having given them enough time to really gel. And it takes a long time when you're playing with just one person to be able to sort of know what they want and know what they're thinking the entire time. And we still see where these guys are making little mistakes where they're assuming a player is going to be somewhere and they're just not there yet.
Yeah, that's definitely something they have to work on, but I think that'll just take time. Let's talk about everybody's best friend, Jay Beagle. What a way to end that Winnipeg game. The guy is a clutch player. He always has been. Getting that 32nd with 30 seconds left. What a goal. He's there. I mean, for saying everybody's checking out, that guy's got heart. He didn't check out at all. He was playing a full 60 minutes. That's what I love about Jay Beagle. But let me ask you, at the end of the game, Jay Beagle and a Winnipeg player kind of, you know, had some words or whatever, kind of got in each other's faces.
Shifley.
Yeah. As
I don't know how to spell his last name, as I tweeted out last night. I was like, Shifley, sure, for that guy. It was a little bit of a dick move. Like, he went and he speared Beagle.
Yeah, not cool. But, like, let me ask you, how is that going to affect the game on Thursday? Because, like you said, it's a quick turnaround for these guys. They went up against each other in Winnipeg on Tuesday, and then in Thursday, both teams are in D.C. doing the same thing. So are we going to have one of those things where the puck drops immediately and Tom Wilson's punching somebody?
No. Just because, I mean, you might see Beagle and Shifley, whatever. No, Shifley. You might see Beagle and Shifley exchange words, or maybe they even throw down at some point, but I don't necessarily expect it. It didn't seem like it was happening too much in that game where guys were going at one another.
Bufflin was all over the place in that game.
Well, it was Bufflin, yeah, but that's his style of play. Like, he goes, he's a big guy, and he goes out and he hits people, and he's a defenseman. He's going to try and get in your head a little bit as the forward so he can throw you off your game. I got no problem with that. So I know I think Thursday is going to be interesting in terms of how things go, but I don't. They're not a rivalry. Like, there's no, even if they used to be in the Southeast for that 1 year, which made no sense when they went from Atlanta to Winnipeg, that part made sense. So I don't expect a lot, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Beagle and Shifley at least have, like, you know, exchange words at some point. Like, Beagle's like, "Hey man, don't hit me in the junk."
Don't ever do that to anyone.
Don't hit me in the no-nos. It's not nice.
Oh, man. What else should we talk about in Caps World? Anything else going on?
Let's see. We did the lines. We got the lines are interesting. Good trip. Connelly and Sanford got the first points, so good for them. Oh, we got the Ovechkin thing with the fan in Edmonton.
That's right. So
I thought that was cool.
The NHL. I don't know if you saw the video from the NHL where Ovi sees a Caps fan, an Ovi fan, gets a stick, puts it over the glass to the kid, and you know makes a kid's day. And the announcers actually said, "Alex Ovechkin, great player, even better guy." And I was like, holy crap. They just gave a compliment to Ovechkin as a player and as a human being. That's something you don't normally hear from the NHL.
Normally like, Russian, he's bad. Screw to that guy. I thought it was really cool. I mean, he saw a fan in Edmonton, which is, you know, I don't know if you've looked at a map recently, Brandon, but it's pretty far from D.C.
What?
It's like 20 miles. He saw a fan in a Caps jersey and he went, oh, that's kind of cool. So he gave the kid his stick. I was going to say jersey. That was dumb. And then the kid made a video thanking Ovechkin and saying, oh, he hoped to meet him one day and I'm sure other nice things and blah, 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 blah. Like, not the most exciting thing, I'm sure. But I guess Ovechkin saw it. So he invited the kid to the game against Calgary. And he ended up meeting the kid after the game. And the funny part, I'm pretty sure I read, is that the kid ended up giving Ovechkin one of his sticks, which I thought was pretty good. Apparently, this kid plays hockey, and he's a huge Ovechkin. He's Canadian, so he plays hockey. And he's a huge Ovechkin fan. His teammates call him – I can't remember his name, but basically they made the end of his name Ovechkin. So I thought that was very cool. And you see things like this where Ovechkin is very good with the fans in terms of the younger fans. I ran into Ovechkin once outside after a practice right before the Winter Classic in Pittsburgh. I got a picture. He wasn't entirely happy to be, I guess, bothered to be have a picture taken with him. But, you know, it's fine. It would have been nice if he was a little bit happier about it. But
he was a complete jerk to me when I got to meet him.
I mean, it was a situation where it's after practice. He's tired. He's got to go fly to Pittsburgh. Who wants to go to Pittsburgh? I mean, really.
It's true.
So, but no, I mean, he's done a lot of nice things like that for fans, or at least for the young fans.
Yeah, he works a lot with the kids in D.C. I know he has a really close relationship. I forget her name. Is it Anne? I forget her name.
Well, the young fan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Female.
Yeah, this past year, and they stay connected, and she showed him a book, like a children's book that he's now featured in with her about learning how to skate and play hockey and everything. So as he's growing older, I think he's becoming a little bit more fatherly. So his wife is getting ready, I think. You know, he's ready to be a dad at this point.
Won't put too much pressure on Brandon. Come on, I mean, now.
He still likes to play video games and go to still likes to go to electronica shows.
Look, in the next couple of years, I'm sure there may be a younger version of myself, a little version of myself running or crawling around, but I'm still playing video games.
I call Godfather.
Yeah, good luck with that. So,
hey, you got to at least interview me. I got references.
Nah, if we're still doing this in a couple of years, we'll bring the kid on the show.
Sounds good.
My dog's been on the show.
That's true. Luna is very vocal about her likes and dislikes for the Capitals.
Yeah, she's not sure why I'm jumping. What was it? Beagle scored last night. Kate falling asleep. Luna was sleeping. And I like went to clap, and I was like, no, they're both sleeping. And so I started I was excited. So I was kind of had my hands in the air. Luna looks at me like, the hell are you doing? I get more, it happens less in soccer. And so like when I watch Arsenal, when they score, I'll jump up out of my chair usually. And that one, the dog will come running over and be like, playtime? What are we doing? And she'll like jump up to attack me. And I'm like, no, not talking to you right now.
My dog doesn't care about me podcasting at all or getting excited or whatever. But when I am podcasting in my podcast studio, the cat will come in and will just stare at me like, you all right, man? Who are you talking to? There's nobody else here. You're all right? He's like always very concerned. That look on his face is just like, something's not right because you're just talking to yourself a whole lot. This is weird. That's all he's worried about. And then he'll meow and ask go to his food bowl.
You want to talk about the Lyons' thing he's talking about with moving the stadium? Well, not moving the stadium. That seems like it would be heavy. building a new stadium once they paid off. Right. I mean, I'm reading this thing now, and it costs an estimated $36 million annually, the mortgage on Verizon Center. That's expensive.
That's a whole lot of money.
That is a nice chunk of change. It sounds like he wants to keep the team in downtown D.C., but he's not against going somewhere else.
Well, when the stadium opened up and started to grow a fan base, the neighborhood kind of grew up with it. It was, you know, it was Chinatown, yes, but you weren't having, you know, thousands of people there every weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't happen all the time, but a lot of cities we see when they build a stadium, whether it be for baseball or football or hockey, soccer, basketball, whatever, it does have the opportunity to build up around it, and it brings in it ups the economy in that particular neighborhood. And it did a lot for DC when they built Verizon Center with Apollon, and so. It doesn't sound like he's necessarily looking at moving to Virginia or Maryland, but I don't know where in D.C. he necessarily would move. It sounds like he kind of, to use the words they're using in this article on the Washington Post from Dave Shinen, he used their word, quote unquote, danced around questions about the current site of RFK Stadium. I feel like that's the one that the city has always wanted the Redskins to go back to. For Snyder, once D.C. United leaves and moves into their new stadium at Buzzard Point, that it sounds like, well, the rumors are the Redskins would, or the city wants the Skins to, you know, they would take down RFK and build a new stadium there. Rumor is that the Skins want to go to National Harbor in PG County. But it'd be interesting to go to the RFK site for a new hockey basketball arena. That'd be, and AFL. Let's not forget about that.
For RFK, though, they just got to blow that thing up and start
it. I like RFK. It has like a beat up old timey charm to it.
Because people died there. People got struck by lightning there multiple times.
Well, that's not the stadium's fault necessarily. But yeah, this isn't going to happen. He said there's not really any conversations about it now. Real major conversations. I'm sure it's just people talking. Or just, you know, casual, unofficial stuff. Like, you know, in like 7 years, when we've paid this thing off, maybe we do. I mean, when do they build the arena?
Well, Leonsis is going to say whatever he has to get a better price for the building. So when the lease comes up, he'll say like, I'm thinking about moving somewhere else, just to get them to be like, all right, we can cut you some kind of deal. Let's not forget this is the guy who was one of the biggest components of a lockout happening a couple years ago. So he's going to do what's best for his wallet, while, yes, still saying he's going to do this for the fans and whatever. He's going to do what's best for his himself first. And if it means moving the team, then it means moving the team. But he's got a stake in Verizon Center. Obviously, he's very important to that neighborhood. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think this is a lot of hot air. But, you know, it's what you do in business, I guess.
I wonder what they would do with the Verizon Center site if the Caps were to leave.
Blow it up and put it in an office building.
No. I don't know.
Put up a parking lot.
It's too small for a football stadium, I imagine.
Yeah. Man, I went to MetLife a couple weeks ago for the Jets Ravens game. Holy cow, that stadium is massive. I couldn't get over it. So incredibly huge. Great stadium. Beautiful. But huge.
Here's an interesting piece. This is not really Caps related. Except for in conversation, but naming rights for the building are set to come available in 2018, so it may no longer be known as the Verizon Center.
As long as it's not something stupid like the Penguins play in now. What is it? There's the PPG Paint or something like that?
I don't know. I didn't even know they changed it until the first game of the season. I was like, where are they playing? They're doing a what now? It'll be interesting to see what happens with this team and where they're relocated to. But you know it's going to be somewhere near the Metro, even though the Metro is a piece of crap.
PPG Paints. Yeah, that's really annoying. The Metro, I'm planning to go to a game next week, but my biggest worry is how to get into the city, because I usually park in Silver Spring and take the Metro in. But that doesn't sound like it's the best idea right now.
I mean, you kind of got to go at your own risk.
But we'll see. Anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
Nope, that's it.
All right,
they're doing all right.
So we're going to go down on the farm and talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, guys, how's it going? We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's see. In the past week, Hershey went 2-0 with wins over Binghamton and Lehigh Valley, their favorite team to play last season. Hershey is currently 3-2-2 early in the season with three games over the weekend, starting on the road in Springfield on Friday with back-to-back home games on Saturday and Sunday against Albany and Rochester. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-3 with a win over Florida. They're currently 1-4-1, not real great start this season. They got two games before we talk again, both at home against Elmira on Thursday and then Sunday. Sunday's like a 3:05 start. I feel like we don't see very often in sports. But Brandon, I know you got another piece of information you discovered just before we started recording.
That's right. So apparently Madison Bowie went on to Instagram over the weekend and smoked something and then blew the smoke into the camera's lens, and an hour later deleted the video. Now, we don't know specifically what he was smoking. It was a rolled brown wrapper. So, of course, the first thing you think of is it's probably weed, but we don't know exactly what it is. But really looks terrible for the Capitals, Hershey Bears, and Madison Bowie himself to be doing something like that on Instagram. I know you're if it was weed, you're probably not in the right frame of mind to be thinking that, but dude's got a bright future, but if he's doing stuff like this, I don't know.
Pun intended?
I don't. This is probably not the best idea for this kid.
No. Was he thinking is Jack Wilshere? That's a terrible idea. Why would you? It's one thing. I know you don't know who Wilshere is. Don't worry about it. It's one thing if you're smoking something, be it cigarettes or marijuana, and you get caught on camera, like from somewhere else. But clearly, this dum-dum did it himself and posted it on his own Instagram page.
And it was seen by 118 people before it was taken down.
And it was up there for an hour. What did he, like, take a short and he took a power nap, woke up and went, oh, crap.
The funniest thing, though, is the first comment that said, Barry Trotz ain't going to like this.
No. No, I don't think he will. It's not going to end well.
I'm intrigued to see, like, who told him to take it down. Like, I wonder if it was, like, a Hershey Bears official or a teammate going, like, dude, you kind of ruined this for everybody. Don't post this yourself, moron.
I imagine he's getting a talking to.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's an idiot.
We should also bring up that Vitek Vanacek got his first win of the early season.
That's your boy.
That's my boy. He's looking good for the Hershey Bears, moving up from the Stingrays. Again, I'm not saying he's going to give Braden Holtby a run for his money, but if he keeps this up, when Braden Holtby's got a contract extension coming up, you got to wonder if this kid can continue that trend of being this good. Dude. And maybe backing him up eventually.
To jump back up to the NHL, you know who's giving Holtby a run for his money right now is Grubauer.
Grubauer's looking good. Real good.
I mean, he's playing very well. I hope he enjoys the heat, because Las Vegas is very warm.
He's got to enjoy showgirls, gambling, and, yes, a dry heat. That's him and Orlov are going to be buds hanging out in Vegas.
Yeah, right. I don't think you can lose more than one dude.
You can lose a goalie and another player, can't you?
No. I think it's just one player from your team can be taken.
Yeah. All right.
I think. I have to go back and look. But the point is, that's what's going on down the farm.
All right. Very cool. So, Madison Bowie, stop it.
Behave.
What's your saying from last year?
You don't get to play if you're going to be dumb.
There you go.
That should be, you know what? They need to get rid of will over skill, and that's what needs to go on the shirts.
I like it.
You don't get to, that should be Hershey shirts. You don't get to play if you're going to be dumb. I should have said that to one of my players during the season.
And if you're going to do something like that, even if it wasn't weed, don't post it on Instagram, guys. I know that's like the cool thing to do, but seriously, don't put that out for social media, because everyone's going to be like, oh, that guy's smoking weed. And it may have not been weed. You know, we weren't there. We don't know. What are you thinking posting that? Because, of course, that's the first thing people are going to go to.
It's on the front page of Yahoo. Yeah. Not Yahoo Sports. Not Yahoo Hockey or NHL, then Sports.
Puck Daddy.
It's the front page! Capitals prospect Madison Bowie deletes smoke in Instagram.
Idiot.
God, you idiot. Moron.
All right, so that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Let's get these guys a little bit more entertained down on the farm. They seem bored in Hershey.
Yeah, apparently there's not much to do.
Yeah.
But there's a theme park nearby.
You can only eat so much chocolate, I guess. All right, so that's it for down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, guys, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. Capitals keeping busy. Other teams keeping busy. Who got suspended? Who got concussed? We will find out. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
One of those things you said actually happened.
What?
Hold on. Let's start with Marian Hossa, who scored his 500th career NHL, so congratulations to him. Detroit forward Steve Ott was suspended for spearing Boston's Zdeno Chara. I feel like that's not the guy you want to get upset. He could probably just, like, step on you because he's 95 feet tall. Boston forward Dave Pastrnak was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Rangers defenseman Dan Girardi. It could easily have just hit Girardi in the body, but he chose to hit him in the head, and he got to sit out for it. And finally, the U.S. and Canada will play an outdoor game in Buffalo in the preliminary round of the IIHF World Junior Championship on December 19th, 2017.
Really?
Which I actually thought was very cool. It's the preliminary rounds, so, you know, but it's. I think that's a very cool thing to do, to have the U.S. and Canada in Buffalo, so you know that's going to be like half and half with the stadium. It's going to be loud. It's going to be exciting. That sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. But, yeah, that's the news for the past week in the NHL.
Buffalo, huh?
But, well, I think that's where the tournament is.
Interesting.
Hey, last time I was in Buffalo, I ended up there.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I've told you this story on here before, how we ended up in Buffalo. We're flying back from the Dominican from my usual winter week away, and then we were supposed to go to Philly to D.C., and there's a big snowstorm in Philly, a blizzard, and so we ended up being rerouted after circling Philly for a while to go to, like, Cleveland.
Ugh.
To refuel, and they're like, oh, actually, a bunch of other planes already got there, so we're going to go to Cincinnati, and we're like, what the – okay. And then we're like the plane takes a sharp turn. We're like, well, that's probably not the case anymore. And they're like, all right, we're actually going to Buffalo. We're going to refuel and then fly back into Philly. We're like, oh, okay. And then as we're like getting to Buffalo, like, actually, we're going to have to spend the night.
We're just going
to
chill here.
We're like, what? And then they're like, yeah. And it looks like we may not. And this is like Sunday, I want to say. Maybe it was a Saturday. And like, yeah, we're not going to have a flight back for you to the Philadelphia, D.C. area until Wednesday.
Jeez.
And I don't know if that part was necessarily true. That's why I heard it. And I was like, what the F? So we're sitting in the airport, and I'm calling the girlfriend, now fiance, being like, hey, so I'm stuck in Buffalo. And she's like, what? Why are you in Buffalo? And I don't know. So we're up there. We're at the airport trying to figure out what's going on. We're like, you know what? Let's just drive back. Like, we'll spend the night. The airline's paying for the airline's paying for a hotel. We'll spend the night, drive back the next day. I go across the street to the rental place. I'm like, hey, do you guys have any? We need 2 cars. Sedan is fine. You know, if you have a van or something, that'd be cool. And like, we don't have any cars. You're a car rental place. How do you not have any cars? Turns out it's because the World Junior Championship was in Buffalo at the same time. Like, we're in the airport, and there's a bar at the airport that's playing the World Junior Championship games, which was very cool. You'll never see that in the D.C. area.
No.
No. So it turns out, actually, the Kate ends up actually going online and booking us two cars online. But I couldn't go across the street and get the freaking cars. So we ended up actually driving along the lakes, down around Pittsburgh, and then back home. It took like 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah, that's a long trip, but still better than sitting around waiting for the airlines to do their thing.
Yeah. I mean, Buffalo's cool. I went and bought myself, my brother, and my mother coffee at Tim Hortons and spent like $4 for three of us or something. So that was cool. I think I had like – I think I had a lot of coffee that day because I was very tired. We were on a plane for way longer than we should have been the day before. Got to the hotel very – had like Fridays TGI Fridays for dinner at like 10:30, 11, and we're up at like 7 the next day.
Jeez.
That was a little rough, but it was cool. I mean, it was fun, but I don't ever want to do that again.
I love
the World. That's what happened the last time the World Juniors were in Buffalo.
I love the World Juniors. I'm a big component of watching that during the Christmas holiday season. I absolutely love it. So it's pretty cool that they're doing that stateside. I'm a little bummed if it's stateside, though, because it means that it'll be on at normal hours. I really enjoyed getting up at like 7 a.m., making a hot chocolate and breakfast and watching hockey because it was over in Russia and it was, you know, prime time for them. But, yeah, it'll be fun. And you know, what you said, 2017?
December 29th, 2017.
So I wonder where they are this year.
I don't remember.
I don't know where they are this year. Is it Finland? I think it might be Finland.
Hang on, I'm going to look it up.
What was that? Oh, it's in Toronto.
Of course it is.
For the World
Cup. Wait. 2016 World Junior Ice Hockey Championships. It was hosted in Helsinki in Finland. Oh, wait. Oh, I see how they do this. Okay. Because it started in 20... It ends in 2016 and it's called... Yes. Quebec and Toronto.
That's
it's
cool.
It's co-hosted in Montreal, Quebec, and Toronto.
Ooh.
So this will be the game that'll be outside in Buffalo is the 2018 since it ends that year.
Right.
That makes sense.
All right.
All right. I gotta have to do this.
This is cool. So so the USA schedule. I didn't know this was out yet. They're up against Latvia, Slovakia, Russia, Canada, and then quarterfinals, semifinals, bronze, gold. So Russia, Canada, there'll be some good games to watch. All right. So what else is going on around the NHL?
No, that's it, man.
That's it.
That was it. It's still early. Oh, actually, there was a thing that happened today after our moments. I totally forgot about it. But the Senators picked up goaltender Mike Condon from from the Penguins, but they don't need him anymore since Murray's healthy for like a fifth round pick or something.
Okay. Very cool. All right. So if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can actually find something new that I've written. It's only a paragraph. We're doing a Capitals Outsider roundtable discussion regarding the bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, we forgot to talk about earlier.
No, we didn't. I was waiting for you to talk about bobbleheads now.
Oh, look at you. Well played. It's a good thing we planned that out in advance. If you head over to CapitalsOutsider.com, I believe it will be posted on Monday or Tuesday. Check it out for my vote in terms of who I think which bobblehead should be made. And I can't remember who tweeted this out, but I feel like all three of those need to be made at some point. Well, but if you want to see why I am voting – well, here. Yeah. If you want to see why I am voting for the Justin Williams bobblehead, read my piece on Capitals Outsider. They have a great fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Brandon, why don't you tell us about these Capitals bobbleheads?
Well, before I tell you about them, let me just do this. Slow clap for the Capitals because this is a giveaway. This is the real deal. This is how you do it.
You're not giving anything away when you go to the game.
Yeah, I know. But what they're doing is on election night, they're giving you three options, more than what the U.S. has for the presidency right now, on what to vote for. You have a Braden Holtby, and he's sitting, or he's not sitting, he's standing in front of the goal, and he's doing his water bottle thing. And then you have Justin Williams, who's sitting on the edge of the boards, and he's got that crazy hair that he had for his team picture last year. And then you have Tom Wilson, dressed as Wilson from Castaway. And on Tuesday, you get to vote on which one gets made, and then in March, they give it away, and it actually gets made. I love this. It shows that the Caps have a sense of humor. Everything's been so serious the last couple of years. I like the fact that they're kind of doing this a little lightheartedly. I like the fact that we're poking fun at ourselves. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what makes hockey fun. I like it. I'm going for the Tom Wilson, because I think that's hilarious. They made him into the Wilson volleyball. But let me ask you this. I don't think that one's going to win, because I don't think enough young voters are going to even know that reference. Like, I think we've seen Castaway. I don't think people younger than us have seen Castaway.
That was a good movie.
It was a great movie. I loved it, but I don't think anyone who is, I'm 31 now, anyone maybe like 26 and younger, they're probably not seeking out Castaway whenever they get a chance.
I wouldn't expect it. I don't think that's necessarily the case. No, I feel, well, I mean, you can read more in depth in terms of why I thought that in the Capitals Outsider piece coming out next week. But I feel like they missed a great opportunity with the Braden Holtby one. It should have been. I mean, credit for having the water coming out of the water bottle a little bit. He's about to spray on his hair and everything. But I feel like they should have had one with him holding his hands on top of the stick with his chin in his hands, staring out at the ice, doing that thing with his eyes. I don't know how you make the eyes work, but, you know, doing the thing before he does before each game. I felt like that would have been way better. If they'd done that, that probably would have been my vote. I felt like the Wilson one was just too on the nose. I understand that it's the costume that he wore to Halloween last year. Very clever. I like that he plays along with the joke, but I still feel like they could have come up with something better than that one.
Him and Burakovsky were stepbrothers this year for Halloween, which I think I must...
See, that's what it should have been. It should have been him and Burakovsky, like, hanging out, because Lotta's not here anymore.
Oh, poor guy. I must be the only person in the world who, number one, wasn't like blown away by Stranger Things, and number two,
okay, well, you're wrong there.
I'm not wrong, because I had a great conversation with a friend of mine about Stranger Things. Stranger Things is like the greatest hits album from your favorite band. You like it, but it's not really what you're looking for.
Oh, that was exactly what I was looking for.
You just want the greatest.
It was great.
Well, no, it's nothing original was in that show. Everything was a reference to something else. That's what I'm saying. Like, the greatest hits album is...
All right, Brandon, let's stay on point.
It's fine, but the other albums... Like, Metallica's Black album is great by itself, but I'll listen to Enter Sandman on its own. All right? You know what I mean? What was my point here? Oh, right. And secondly, I think that I'm the only person that doesn't find that movie Step Brothers funny.
I watched some of it. I didn't think it was that funny.
All right, it's not just me. I saw that in the movie theater, and I went, yep, I'm never seeing a Will Ferrell movie again. And I haven't since that movie.
No, I mean, I don't know. I didn't think it was that funny. But that, you know, just us, apparently. But yeah, that's finding me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan and CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there. And follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know, as long as you like us and subscribe there. Make sure you write us an iTunes review. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go. Anywhere you are social with your phone, say, I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. There's also a new app. Actually, it's not new, but I found it just this past week, and it's called I Pooped. And it's where you check in to public bathrooms, and you say whether it's clean or not. And, yeah, check in there and say...
That's actually an interesting idea.
Yeah. Check in there and say, hey, great place to listen to What the Puck. this.
Okay, I don't really want to hear my voice in a public restroom.
I think it's fine. All right, so let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, November 3rd, the Capitals are up against Winnipeg again, this time in the phone booth. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch it locally on Comcast Sportsnet. On Saturday, November 5th, remember the 5th of November.
Yeah.
The Caps are up against the Florida Panthers. That game is on Comcast Sportsnet. I got to work that day. It's at 7 o'clock. That is how I'll be decompressing from work, is watching the Caps beat up the Panthers. And then they got a couple days off. And on Tuesday, the Capitals, it's election day in the United States. They are up against the San Jose Sharks. I hope they got one of those early voting ballots, those players there that are American on the San Jose Sharks, because they're on the road in D.C. You can watch it locally, Comcast Sportsnet, at 7 o'clock. Go out and vote for whoever you want to vote for. This coming Tuesday, if you're in the U.S., just use your right to vote. That's what we're all about here. All right, so that is it. Three games until we talk again. Coach Dan, it's been fun. Hopefully the Capitals can go undefeated again.
Yeah.
Until we talk again. Everybody, yeah. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.